Okay, there are a few words here on Daf Tezvav Amid Beis, which are actually the first four words on the Amud that are very critical. And if you miss up on this, yesterday I was very confused because I didn't really catch how important these four words are. So we'll read the four words and then we'll put them into a broader context. Ema liktola hudi asa. What we're discussing here is the end of a pasuk which says v'gam v'olav yumas. Our Mishnah derives something very important from that phrase. The beginning of that pasuk says hashor yisakel. Now we put this shor to death because it killed a human being. But do we need a court that's comprised of 23 judges, just like when we condemn a human being to death for a crime of, let's say, Ritzicha or some other capital crime? We need 23 judges minimum. What about the case of a shor? You know, one could ostensibly argue that in the case of a shor, just kill the shor. I mean, we don't have to go through a whole court case, and certainly not 23 judges. So the Mishnah establishes what we call a hekesh. And that means that we compare and equate the beginning of a pasuk with the end of the pasuk. In the end of the pasuk it says, gam bi'olav yumas, which means that we put the owner of the shor to death. We'll have a long discussion about that in just a minute. And the beginning of the pasuk says, hashor yisakel. So the Mishnah derives from this equation, this hekesh, that just like in the case of bi'olav, just like in the case of a human being, if he's condemned, we require a court that's made up of no less than 23 judges. So too, in a case of a shor haniskal, you need 23 judges. That's what it says in the Mishnah. Abaye raises an objection to the Mishnah. And he says the following, that you can only derive that conclusion if the words v'gam ba'olav yumas were placed in the pasuk by the Torah deliberately to teach that just like misas habaylim, which requires 23, so too misas hashor requires 23. But if I have another reason why the Torah adds the words v'gam ba'olav yumas, and those words are justified by the halacha that's telling me about the owner of the shor, then it cannot tell me anything about the shor itself. And we have to split the pasuk into two. Hashor yisakel, that's as far as the shor is concerned, and that doesn't require 23 judges. And then gam bi'olav yumas, the Torah wants to tell me that the owner of the shor should be put to death. And that's halacha in and of itself. That's an important halacha to independent of the shor. And the Torah is now addressing this the law and the judgment of the owner of the shor. It has nothing to do with the shor itself. You can't derive conclusions about the shor and what level of bezdin you need to condemn the shor to death from the fact that the Torah says gam bi'olav yumas, which is telling me a chiddush about the Adam. And what does it mean it's telling me a chiddush about the Adam? And that is what the Gemara says here in these first four words on the page on Tezvav and Beis, which have to be underlined and bolded, because the entire Hemshech HaSugya is based on these four words. Ema liktola hudiyasa. Maybe the Torah is telling me that we should put the owner of the shor to death. Which means the following, that you and I would have said intuitively, well, you know, the owner of the shor is a pretty bad guy. You know, he's in charge of a shor amud. He didn't provide the right protection to safeguard against this hazard, this terrible calamity. But on the other hand, he's not a murderer. He didn't actively pick up a gun and shoot the guy. And therefore, the Torah has to go out of its way to tell us v'gam ba'olav yumas, that we should put the owner of the shor to death. Now, if the gambol of yumas is telling me a big chiddush that we put the owner of the shor to death, then that doesn't give you leeway to take these words the gambol of yumas and reflect back on shor aniskal, hashor yisakel, the beginning of the pasuk, to teach you that the shor needs a bezin of 23, because Gambal of Yumas is telling me something about the bilim of the shor. It's not telling me anything about the shor itself. And the fundamental underlying principle here in this Gemara is that you can only use the end of the pasuk to shed a light on the beginning of the pasuk if there's something in the end of the pasuk that is superfluous, that's unnecessary. That's called yitura dekra, meaning the Torah didn't have to say so. If, on the other hand, I can justify the words the gabal of Yumas, because we need them to tell me this unbelievable chiddush that the owner of the shor is to be put to death, then I can't at the same time use that to tell me and derive halachas about the shor. But now the Gemara is going to take the following approach, that if the Torah just wants to tell me that we put the owner of the shor to death, then although I would need part of the Gambal of Yumas, but I wouldn't need all of it. I still have some piece of the puzzle here, the Gambal of Yumas, that is superfluous, and could therefore teach me to connect the Balash or back to the shor at the beginning of the pasuk and shed a light on the halachic requirements for shor aniskal, namely that you need a bezdin of 23 judges. So the Gemara says, in Cain, if the entire purpose of the Gambal of Yumas is to teach you that you put the owner of the shor to death, lichtov, we could have truncated it, we could have cut out one word. It could have said, Hashor Yisokel v'gam ba'olav. In other words, Hashor Yisokel v'gam ba'olav. Not only is the shor subject to stoning, but the owner of the shor as well, v'lishtok. And then he could have been silent. He didn't need the extra word yumas. And if he didn't need the extra word yumas, that word yumas is coming to hook the end of the pasuk to back to the beginning of the pasuk, to teach me that, just like in the case of Be'olav, you need 23 judges in order to condemn him to death, so too in the case of the shor Yisokel, that's only after you have 23 judges and they adduced all the evidence and then they finally handed down a verdict to put the shor to death.
Maybe it's a different form of visa.
Well, were you here yesterday, Jerry? No. Okay, so I don't know if you I don't know if you're a Navi or or maybe you heard the recording of yesterday. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to say, you know. But that's the sugya that we're going about to embark upon now. Okay, so if you don't mind, Jerry, we're going to go through the sugya, and then you'll ask your question. So Gemara says the following, that no, even the word yumas is justified. And we need the word yumas to tell me something about the way we're going to put the bailim to death, in contrast to the method by which we're going to put the shor to death. In other words, yumas is saying he will die, but not the same way that the shor will die. Because of Rachmana Hachi, if the Torah just would have said shor yisachel v'gam ba'olav, it would mean that just like the shor gets skila, the bialim gets skila. But now that it says yumas, the extra word yumas is telling me that we're not going to use this method, namely this mises besen called skila, to mete out the death penalty to the balash. Or we're going to use a different one of the mises besen. And at this point, Rashi introduces chenek. Now, it seems that unless the Torah uses the word yisakel, or sometimes the Torah says yisarev, if we have a stam hariga, means if the Torah uses a generic term, yumas, but it doesn't tell you in what method yumas, then we always assume, until we have any explicit information to the contrary, we assume it means chenek. Now, a lot of what we're learning now requires that we learn a different perek in Masechta Sanhedrin, in this very same Masechta, and that's called Perek HaNisrafim. There's also Perek Dalet Mises Bezdin, and in those chapters later on in the Masechta, the Gemara is going to flesh this all out. So right now we'll accept it as axiomatic that yumas means chenek. If you must means chenek, then we are certainly just, the Torah certainly needs that extra word you must here, because if we would have said hashar yisakel v'gamba olav, it would have meant gamba olav yisakel, and then we would meet out skila. So the Gemara now is raising a very serious havamina called skila in regard to the owner of the shor. And Lafuki, in order to exclude that Havamina and tell you no, it's not Skila, but rather it's Chenek, the Torah had to use this generic term Yumas to create a contrast between the Resha of the Pasuk, which is Ashar Yisakel, that the Shar has to be stoned, and Ba'alav, which is Yumas. Yumas means Bechenek. So if this be the case, again, we're back to square one, we're stuck, because now we need the Pasuk, the Gamba Olav Yumas, to teach us the din of the Baal HaShor. And in two different ways. Number one, to teach us that the Baal HaShor has to be killed, but for that it could have said the Gamba Olav. And number two, to teach us that the method by which we're going to put the Baal HaShor to death is not the identical method in which we put the Shor to death, which is Skila, but rather it would be Chenek. But if that be the case, we do not have what we call Yitura Dekra, an extra pasuk here, Gambal of Yumas, to teach me that the Shar requires a Beis Din of 23 judges. How are we doing so far? I mean, life gets a little more complicated, so I want to make sure at least this part we have. You know, if you miss the next part of the sugya, okay, then you're where I was yesterday, so that's not too bad, but at least that you're up to this point. Again, here are the premises of the Gemara. Premise number one is that in order for the end of the Pasuk, the Gambal of Yumas, to teach me anything about the beginning of the Pasuk, namely Shar Yisakel, and the Mishnah wants to derive from that equation that just like Baal of Yumas, it means with a judgment of 23 judges, so to Shar Yisakel with a judgment of 23 judges. The premise of the Gemara is that only makes sense if I don't need Gamba Olav Yumas. If we don't need Gamba Olav Yumas, then it must be there for a Hekesh to teach me this halach of 23 judges. But if I need Gamba Olav Yumas to address the issue of the punishment that we mete out to the Baal HaShor, then I can no longer use Gamba Olav Yumas to reflect back on the Shor and teach me that you need 23 judges. Now, why do I need Gamba Olav Yumas? Number one, to teach me that even though the owner of the Shor did not directly murder the person, the victim who died, but nevertheless he was negligent, that for that negligence alone, the Shor is considered like his arrow, and he murdered the guy. That's a tremendous revolution. But the Gemara says, for that revolution, the Torah could have sufficed by saying, Gam Ba'olav, because it would have read the following, Shor Yisakel Gam Ba'olav. Says the Gemara, I still need the word Yumas, because if I would have had Gamba Olav, which Misa would I meet out to the person? Skila. But now the Torah drops it to the level of Chenek, because whenever you see the word Yumas in the Torah, again, that's a sugya later on in Sanhedrin, you always assume that Stam Misa is Bechenek. Now, I have a long discussion here about Tosfos. The question is, I'm thinking in my mind that maybe we should first finish the sugya and then we'll go back to Tosfos. That's what I'm thinking. Although again, the Tosfos is going to zoom in on what we've been doing until now, but we're in the shmoo. You know, we're in the flow here, this Gemara. So let's go on. The Gemara says you need the word Yumas. Why? Because otherwise, I would have assumed that the owner of the Shor would be put to death by Skila? That makes no sense at all. Because how could you even entertain the possibility that we put the owner of the Shor to death by Skila? If he would have killed someone with his hands, he gets an onesh which is called Saif. He's beheaded. And Saif, my friends, is on a lower level. It's less severe than Skila. Skila is like really bad. So now you're going to tell me that for negligence of not watching his Shor properly, we're going to upgrade his Misa from Saif to Skila? Was there really a Havmin? Again, we're trying to justify the extra word Yumas. And it was saying, you know what? I'm not happy over here because I need the word yumas to teach me that it's not going to be misaskila, because the havamina would have been, had you dropped the word yumas, that we would have put the man to death, the owner of the shard to death, with what? With skila. How could that be? Had he killed someone directly, he would be chayev sayev. And now you're telling me he could be chayev skila? That's impossible. So that even if the Torah would have omitted the word yumas, and it just would have said hashar yisak v'gam v'olav, I would certainly know that it's got to be a misa less than skila. Can't be misa skila, because a rotzeach gufa is not chayev skila. He's only chayev sayev. So at this point in the mahalach hasugya, we're in good shape. Meaning we have a teretz and not a kash, because now we know that the word yumas is completely superfluous. I don't need the word yumas. Even without the word yumas, I could never have entertained the possibility that the owner of the show would be put to death by skila, because the rotzeach gufa is not chayav skila. Hence the word yumas is superfluous. That's called yitura dekra. Now we can use the word yumas to tell us that there's an equation between the Misas HaBailim and the Misas HaShar, and they both require a judgment of 23 judges. So let's read the Gemara inside. V'skila salkadaitach? Could there be such a Havavina? The Gemara is basically saying that if a student in a class would say to his Rebbe, let's kill the Baal HaShar with skila, the Rebbe would have a right to throw him out of the classroom. That's ridiculous. If he himself killed someone, b'sayif, the Torah says that is misa sayif. There's a sugya later on in Daf Nun Beis. And now Mamono, it's his shar that he owns, killed somebody. Is b'skila? Now we're going to give the owner of the shar a more severe punishment than had he killed him directly with his own two hands? So again, we don't need the pasuk yumas. We know that it can't be skila. And if we don't need the pasuk yumas, then the yumas pasuk here is coming to teach us that the same requirements to put the owner to death apply to the shar, namely you need a bezdin of 23 judges. Yeah, but the Gemara says the following. Maybe I do need the word yumas. Why? Vidilma hai de kosrachmani yumas la kuli alela fuki misayef lechenek. Meaning, if the Torah would have said gamba olav, which means we have to put the owner of the shard to death, we would have assumed that the Torah is teaching me that his level is equal to that of a murderer. So what misa would we mete out to a murderer?
Sayef.
Now the Torah is saying yumas, the extra word yumas is to lower it, to drop it one level. He's not a murderer. He did not actually kill someone with his yodayim. His mom killed someone. The shar killed someone. So let's go down one notch and be a little bit more lenient and compassionate. And instead of giving him sayif, let's give him chenek. Let's give him chenek.
But then the word yumas is still coming to teach you what the punishment is. It can't be used for the 23.
So since the word yumas is now teaching me what? That you don't mete out the punishment of sayif, which would be the classic punishment for a rotzeach b'yodayim, but instead you lower it down to the level of chenek. Hence, I need the word yumas to teach me that we're going to be compassionate and we're going to drop it one notch from sayif, which would be the classic misa for a rotzeach mamish, down to the level of chenek. And then I need the word yumas. Then I need the word yumas. And yumas means chenek. So at this point, we're in trouble. Why? Let's go back to the first four words on the page and remind and just jolt that memory. Emolik talahu diasa. I can no longer justify the Mishnah's hekesh to derive the requirement in shar of 23 judges because I need this pasuk liktala. And what does it mean liktala? To teach me A, that we have to put the owner of the shar to death, and B, that we give him a unique death. It's not the death neither of the shar nor the death of a classic rotzeach b'yodayim, but we're going to go down one madriga. So we go down from skila down to a Sayif, and from Sayif we're going to lower it down to Chenek. Why are we going to lower it down to Sayif? Because a Rotzeach is not Chayiv Skiwa, a Rotzeach Mamash. Why do we lower it down from the level of Sayif down to Chenek? And the answer is because the Torah added the word Yumas. But now we're in trouble because Eimel Ketolahu Diyasa. We need the Pasuk Gambal of Yumas in order to teach us the law of the Bailim, or the Baal HaShor, the human being. That doesn't tell me a thing about the Shor. Hence, how do we know that we need a judgment of 23 judges? Are you getting the hang of it? I mean, I've also said, this is the kind of Gemara that, you know, it's like, you know, you got to get the mechanics down. It's like studying physics. Like, you know, you got to get the whole mechanics. Again, I haven't introduced Tosis yet into the sugya. Okay, fine. Oh. So the Gemara says, I can give you an answer to your question. Hanich, I can answer your question. Lemandi Omar Chenek Chamur Misayev. I'm adding a word here, Misayev. Says Machlokes, which is more Chamur, Chenek or Sayev? Let's assume that Chenek is more Chamur than Sayev. Correct? Chenek is more Chamur than Sayev. Okay, if we get by this, we're okay. This is where I got stuck yesterday. I'm just going to read you the translation here. I'm reading it for myself, and then I'll explain it. L'shitaso, i'efsho lomar, shim odom atzma horgas, and if yechayev sayev, v'yem shara horg yechayev chenek. In other words, our question is based on the following premise. We need the X word yumas lafuke to exclude a havamina, that we should give him saif. And kamashmah, the Torah is telling me in the word yumas that instead of saif, we're going to drop it one notch down to chen. That's what the word yumas is to. Then we're in deep trouble, and we don't understand our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, I have a simple answer to your question, because I'm going to wave the flag that Chenek is Chomer Mimisa Sayif. If Chenek is more Chomer than Sayif, then Ef Shalomer a murder is Chayif Sayif, but Shor is Chayif Chenek. Chenek is more Chomer than Sayif. Correct? So what do I do with the word yumas? Just one second. Do you see what I'm going to here? The question is there a serious hamamina here that I need the word yumas? I need the word yumas to drop me down to chenek. That's impossible. Why? Because if I'm holding that chenek is more chomer than sayif, then it could not be a havamina that chenek would be appropriate for the Baal HaShor, because chenek is more chomer than sayif. So rotzeach biyodayim get sayif, and now we have a havamina that what? That Yumas is telling me that we're going to give him a more chomer punishment because his mammon killed somebody. And we're going to upgrade it from Saif, which is appropriate for a Rotzeach B'Yadayim, all the way up to Chenek, which is more Chomer, because we're holding now, according to the Man Yom, that Chenek is Chomer Misayif. So the Gemara says, if that being the case, that Chenek is more Chomer Misayif, there's no way that I need Yumas. And Yumas is, and I'm going to interpret the word Yumas as referring to Chenek. In this case, it can't be Chenek. Does everybody see that? It's impossible to say that Yumas means Chenek in this particular case. Why? Because Chenek is more Chomer than Sayif. You cannot upgrade and intensify the punishment for someone who's Mammon in comparison to someone who did it B'Yadayim. If somebody who killed somebody B'Yadayim is Chayif Sayif, no way, no how can we entertain the possibility that the Baal HaShor, who is negligent in watching his Shor, should be more Chomer than a Rotzeach B'Yadayim, and he's going to get, we're going to jack him up to a higher punishment. higher than Sayef, we're going to give him what? We're going to give him Chenek. So it cannot be that the word Yumas is coming to teach me Chenek. And if that be the case, then the word Yumas is a superfluous word, and we could use the word Yumas to reflect back onto the Shar and tell me that just like in the case of Yumas in a human being that's on trial and he's condemned to death, you need a requirement of what? 23 judges. So too, in the case of Shar HaNiskal, we need 23 judges, because the word Yumas is superfluous. Why is the word Yumas unnecessary? If you're going to tell me that Yumas comes to drop it down from what? From Saif to Chenek. Right? That's impossible. Why? Because now we're holding that Chenek is more Chomer than Saif, correct? L'mandiyam, Chenek Chomer means Chomer mi Saif. What are you going to tell me? That the Torah is telling me you must to let him get away with let him get away with Chenek? What do you mean let him get away with Chenek? You just upgraded his punishment. Again, always in comparison to what? To a Rotzeach Mamish, Rotzeach B'Yadayim. In a Rotzeach B'Yadayim, the worst case scenario, give him Saif, we're not going to go beyond Saif, and give him Chenek because he owns an animal, and he was negligent in watching the animal.
Whether it's an upgrade.
Well, I'm telling you, I'm working very hard, guys. You know, this is
an upgrade.
What?
Whether Chenek is an upgrade from Saif or a downgrade from Saif.
Elevated.
You're still using Yumas to teach it. It's a different
Or why give him a more strict punishment on something that from his animal than he would have if he would have killed somebody?
Well, that's not necessarily true, because you must.
Just a second, and there's so many questions here on the floor. I don't know which one are you addressing, Steve. Sorry, just that.
No,
it's perfectly.
I wanted to dip into this.
The Baal isn't subject to death at all because of what his Shor did.
The Baal is.
No, he's not.
They're teaching you, you must. It is
Chayav. No, it's not. Right? So it's not
Chayav. Wait, so
you asked for a Shor.
So Steve, this is the issue that I was hoping to address now. I'm not sure I have clarity of this issue, but let's again. I'm just gonna slow down the pace here for my brain moves very slowly, and I apologize for that. I wish I had a 200 IQ, but I don't. So again. So then there's no havamina to say that the word yumas in the case of Shor Shaharag would mean chenek, because chenek is more chomer than a rotzeach mamish who gets only saif, because we're holding now that chenek is more chomer than saif. Oh, so what does the word yumas mean? That's what Steve is raising this question. So what does the word yumas mean? So I'm a little bit at wit's end over here. I don't know if you have any commentaries in your editions of the Gemara, but here I'm a little bit lost. The Masifta is not helping me. My crutch here is always the Masifta. But what does the Gemara mean now when it says Hanicha Lamandi Omar Chenek Chom? So I told you that I thought what it meant was that the word yumas is superfluous, and hence the word yumas could give us the hekesh back to Mises HaShar requiring 23 judges. But that's not really the case, because I'll tell you what I read over here. Ubehechrech, he writes, we have no choice, the kavanas hakos of yumas lefocho legamre. Two words, that's all I have here, is lefocho legamre. So here's where I get very perplexed over here. First of all, why would the word yumas teach you lefocho legamre? How's that tight, you know, the word yumas? And secondly, I mean, the whole purpose of this sugya is to try to derive the principle of putting the Shor to death with 23 judges. So
that would mean that yumas goes on the animal, not on the Baal.
But he says it goes on the Baal. That's why I don't understand.
So, the Pocho Ganri,
that's what perplexes me here. If you're telling me now, it can't be that Yumas is telling me that what? That he's Chayev Chenek, because that would be intensifying his punishment. That doesn't make any sense. if he was a rotzech, he'd be chayv only saif. And now you can tell me, no, his shor killed someone, he's chayv kenek. So therefore he says, behechrik, we have no choice but to say that you must means he's potel legamre. So again, I have two problems here. Number one, how does the word you must, it seems to be counterintuitive. Paradoxically, you must is going to teach me that he's potel legamre. And secondly, even if I solve that problem, how does that therefore give me the hekesh to require 23 judges in the case of a shor?
But where did he get that from?
I don't know. Again, it could be he's wrong, but I'll tell you the truth, Ruben. No, don't laugh at me. I have a certain faith in the Masifta. There have been many occasions where I wanted to write a letter to the editor because I thought they made a mistake. But as a general rule, this is, again, I'm not telling you it's Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai, you know, but... I know someone who actually worked on Masifta, not this Masifta, but another Masifta, and he's a great scholar. And he told me that Masifta is a whole cadre of scholars. So, you know, it could be that this, you know, there's something wrong here. But give me just a minute here. I'll tell you what I think he's saying here. I'm not happy with it, but you know, maybe as we go along we'll do better. You know, I always find that sometimes when you get stuck in a sugya, if you just have patience and you go a little bit further, it clarifies. And I think what he's saying is that there are two ways of understanding Misa. One way is to say it means Misa's Bezdin. The other way is to say Misa Bidei Shamayim. You must. Not that we will kill him, but he will die. Do you follow what I mean? So if it's bidei Adam, then it means not you must, he will die, but that we will put him to death. Maybe the language should have been lahamis or laharagos or something along that line. Or yehareg or something. But you must might be referring to shamayim. So again, let's go over this. If we're operating, let's read one more line in the Gemara. Lamanti Omar Chenek Kiel. If Chenek is a lower punishment than Saif, then I'm going to take the word Yumas and I'm going to take it literally to mean we will put him to death. And what is the Torah telling me? We will put him to death. We will lower his punishment from Saif down to the level of Chenek. And then the Gemara says, Ma'ikal Amemar. Then we need the Pasuk Yumas, and we can no longer utilize it, neither to, you know, exempt the owner of the Shar from Misa, meaning Misa's Bezdin, nor to set up this Hekesh and derive the requirement of 23 judges in the case of Shar. But if I hold that Chenek is Chamur, then the word Yumas has to be reinterpreted. Why? Because there's no way, no how, that you can go from Saif all the way up to Chamur, moving up the pyramid, and be more Machmir in the case where he didn't kill the guy, but rather his Shar killed the guy. And therefore, since the word Yumas cannot be telling me anything about which Misa we're going to meet out to him, then obviously the Torah added the word Yumas to teach me that his Misa is Bidei Shamayim and not Bidei Adam. Now the next step is a little bit tricky.
I don't have the
hekesh. No, I'm going to say we do have the hekesh. I'll tell you why. Because if he's not being put to death, meaning there's no Mises Bezdin, so then what's the vagam over here? Meaning what's the equation here between, it says Ashor Yisakal vagam. What does that mean? Ashor Yisakal means in Bezdin. That there was no question. What Bezdin you need, I don't know. And then it says Vagam Ba'olav, and now we're not talking about Bezdin. We're talking about some sort of Misa that's meted out by the heavenly courts. I mean, that the whole pasuk makes no sense. So I think the answer is going to be that as far as the equation between the Baal Ashor and the Shor, between the Sefer and the Resha, it's going to be the theoretical Misa. Meaning, in this particular case, we're not going to put him to death in Beis Din. We're going to leave it to Shamayim to put him to death. But in a case where we would put him to death, then the requirements of the Beis Din would be the same for the Shor as it is for the Adam. I don't know, there's something missing over here. I'm not 100% comfortable with this. But again, let's just go over the main question here is which is more chomer on the scales, right? Everything's about scales because we're getting close to Rosh Hashanah, right? Libra is scales. Tomorrow is the day of scales for the state of Israel. Okay. And if you don't speak Russian, you're in trouble. Okay, fine. So now we have the following. We've got Chenek on one side of the scale, and we have Saif on the other side of the scale. Which weighs heavier? If Saif weighs heavier, then I could take the word Yumas in the context of Adam, of Baal HaShor, forget about the Shor, and it's teaching me that since he did not kill the victim directly, we're going to lower his punishment from Saif down to Chenek. That's called Saif Chomer Mechenek. If on the other hand, Chenek is Chomer Mechenek, no way, no how could we possibly interpret the word Yumas as referring to Chenek, because you can't go beyond Saif. That would make no sense. I hope that's crystal clear. And therefore, we're going to interpret Yumas to tell me, paradoxically, that he's off the hook, meaning that we cannot put him to death. And Yumas means Bidei Shamayim. Once we get to that stage, that Yumas is not telling me which kind of Mises Bezdin we're going to use to the Baal HaShor, because the Baal HaShor is not going to be put to death, which I think, Steve, you were arguing before, then I could use Yumas to shed a light on Shor and teach me about the quality of Beis Din that would condemn the Shor. So now let's see if we can get through this sugya. The Gemara says Lo Salka Daita. The Gemara says now that I have an independent logic that will compel me to derive the conclusion that the word Yumas could not possibly refer to Beis Din. Lo Salka Daita. The Torah says in the very next pasuk, after it says V'gam bi'ol of Yumas, it says Im Kofar Yushas Olav V'nosan Pinyon Nafsho, which means that we're going to impose a monetary fine on the owner of the Shor. You can't tell me that we're putting him to death when the Torah explicitly says that he's going to pay a kofar, he's going to pay some sort of a compensation. Again, the compensation is going to go to the victim's heirs, and we're going to figure out on the market, you know, some sort of market price for the victim. But the Baal HaShor is giving kofar, he's giving mammon. That could not possibly be, the word yumas could not possibly be interpreted as what? As Misa Mamish, Misa's Beis Din. Isal Kedai Kabar Ketolahu. If you're going to tell me that we put him to death in Beis Din, and that's what the word Yumas means, and we're just lowering it from the level of Saif down to the level of Chenek, according to the Man Yomer, who says that Chenek is, that Saif is what? Is, that, let's say it this way, that Chenek is Kiel, Misaif, Vaksiv. How can you tell me that the word Yumas means chenek, lo sikhu kofar l'nefesh rotzeach. The Torah is saying that he has to die because he's a rotzeach. The Torah says lo sikhu kofar l'nefesh rotzeach rosh alam uskimos yumas. The Torah says that when you have to put someone to death, you don't accept ransom money. So how could it be possible that the Torah says im kofar yushas olav v'nosan pidyon nafsho, that he can, so to speak, ransom his own life, and instead of giving him chenek, we're going to allow him to pay this price, resign the check, and the Torah itself says lo sikhu kofar. That's a fundamental that's a fundamental principle of the tenets of our faith, that we don't accept ransom money. Could you imagine? We need to build bridges. This guy is the wealthiest guy on the face of the earth, this mafioso. he should be put to death. So let him give us enough money to build all the bridges in the state of Israel. Right? This was the whole issue about taking, what's it called? After World War II. Reparations, right? Well, we're going to take the reparations from the Germans, and we're going to build the whole state of Israel. So those who were pro and those who were con. So my Rebbe, for example, was opposed to accepting reparations. We're not going to let them clear their conscience and think that they could just build our bridges after they killed 6 million. Anyway, this is a tenet of the faith. You got to put them to death. So at this point, the Gemara is saying that there would never ever be a hava mina to say that the word yumas is addressing Bezdin and telling him which misa to meet out. Even though, again, if not for the next pasuk, we could have gotten away with it and we could have interpreted the word yumas to tell me that let's give him chenek instead of sayif. So the Gemara says, adarabba, mishum hi gufa. On the contrary, the Torah had to add v'nosan pidyon nafsho to tell us that we're not going to beat out chenek if he's able to pay the price and redeem himself and ransom himself. It's a tenet of the faith. We don't accept ransom money for someone who's chayav misa. Kotal iu, if he was the rotzeach, lo tizgi le b'mamona. We're not going to be so happy. We're not going to suffice it with what? With some sort of ransom money. We must put him to death. But Katal Shoro, but if he didn't put someone to death, we're going to put him to death for the negligence of a shar, because he indirectly caused the death of the victim. But Lifrok Nafshi B'mono, here we're going to be compassionate. We're going to allow him another option. And basically, he's in the following alternative situation. Either we put him to death, or he could be poda himself. Nasan pidyon nafshi pays the kofar. So we're going to give him the license, the green light, to be poda his nefesh with mama. Something that's so antithetical to the Torah. But in this case, because it wasn't him himself who was the direct murderer, it was only his mama that murdered, we're going to allow him an option of kofar. I was wondering, you know, if we made a how do you say in English a magbit? What's the word in English for a magbit? A fundraiser. I don't know what word. There's a word for it. Nobody knows? Come on, help me out here with my English. When there's a cause, you know, and you go out and raise funds, what's that called? A
campaign?
Campaign, excellent. That's the word, David. Thank you so much. I owe you everything, David. Tell me. Yeah, you can ask me for anything. I needed that word, campaign. So I was just wondering, in this case of a man, I call him a scoundrel, who should be tarred and feathered publicly because he didn't watch his Shor HaMuad and somebody died as a result. He's in the following situation. He's going to either die because Bezdin's going to put him to death with chenek, or he could pay the pidyon. He doesn't have the money to pay the pidyon. Should we go out there and campaign for him to save his life? On the one hand, he's chayav misa. I don't know if I want to campaign for a murderer. But on the other hand, he's not exactly chayav misa because the Torah allows him to pay ransom money. So maybe to save his life, we have a mitzvah of losamet al dam riecha and atzos nefashos. Maybe we should have a campaign and raise the money. I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that question is.
So if he's allowed to pay ransom, where's the yumas?
So where yumas means bidei shamayim. No. Scratch what I just said to you. The word yumas means chenek. And then the im kofar yushas olav, which means that if he can meet up with the kofar, the payment that we're going to impose upon him, then v'nasan pidyon nafsho, he could ransom himself. But yumas means that he would be put to death with chenek. So again, according to the Madiyom, that chenek is lower than sayif, the Torah is saying yumas means b'chenek. So then we don't have a pasuk now for misa sashor, b'yino b'chof gimel. Elamar Chizkia, this is the final maskon of the sugya. Bechein Tana de Bei Chizkia, it's in all the base medrash of Chizkia. Amar Kro. So if a man kills someone, he's guilty of murder, the Torah says, Mos Yumas HaMake Rotseachu. Why did the Torah have to add the word Rotseachu? At the beginning of the pasuk, it says that he killed somebody else. So what's this rotzeach? This is called a miut. A miut means that sometimes the Torah adds a few words or even one word in order to tell you that this law that I've just formulated only applies in case X but not in case Y. That's called a miut. Al ritzichaso atahargo. Most yumas means we put him to death. Why? Because he's a rotzeach. Ve'i atahargo al ritzichas shoro. But if his shar put someone to death, the shar is called a murderer, but the balashar is not called a murderer, and therefore we don't put him to death. If we don't put him to death, then what do we do with the word yumas? We must interpret the word yumas to mean misa bidei shamayim. And if it's misa bidei shamayim, which the Torah gave him the opportunity of him, kofar yushasav nasa pidyon nafsho, he could be poda himself from misa bidei shamayim, then if there's misa bidei shamayim, we ask ourselves the question, so what is the hekesh in this pasuk between shar yisokel and vegam bol of yumas? I mean, they're two different issues or concepts or addressing two different worlds. I mean, one world is that we kill the shor in Besdin, and the other is Misa Bidei Shamayim. So why did Torah combine that into one pasuk? And the answer is to teach us this hekesh, that although in this particular case he's not going to be put to death because it was only Ritzich HaShoro, but in other cases where we condemn him to death, those are the cases which are equated, or shed a light, if you will, on Shar HaNiskal, and they tell you that you require 23 judges. So let's see if we can somehow figure out Tosfos. This is the Tosfos Ema. Do you see that first Tosfos on Tesvavim and Beis? Now, I'm not going to read the Tosfos together with you inside. Maybe we'll read parts of it, but I have here a summary of the Tosfos. Again, as I told you at the outset, the entire sugya revolves around or stands on these four words, V'eimo l'ktola hu diyasa. Maybe this pasuk, Gambal of Yumas, is teaching us that we have to put the owner of the shor to death. That's the basic problem, because if that be the case, then we need this pasuk for itself, and we cannot use it to shed a light on what? On the shor. Fractosis, I don't understand. Why can't we have our cake and eat it too? Why can't we learn from this pasuk that the Baal HaShor is going to be put to death, he's chayav miso, but from the fact that the Torah put this in the same breath, in the same pasuk, with HaShor Yisakel, is Yeshlanu Gam Lehakish as Misas Abaylim with Misas Ashar, that the Misas Abaylim at the end of the Pasuk is going to shed a light on the Misas Ashar, namely to require a judgment of 23. And Tosfos proves it. Kishem Shematzinu Legabe Adam Harovea Behema, Shemakishim as a Behema Li Adam, Afshishneim Chayovim Misa. Right, so in one pasuk, it says that if a man has this relationship with an animal, he is put to death, and the shor is put to death. And the juxtaposition, the contiguity of Adam and Behema teaches me that just like the Adam requires 23 judges to put him to death as a roveah, so too the Behema requires 23 judges. So the pasuk is telling you that both the Adam and the Behema are put to death. So we need the pasuk to tell me that the Adam HaRoveh is put to death. But nevertheless, since the Torah placed it in the same pasuk with the Behema, so we derive the conclusion that the Behema needs to be put to death in only if there's a judgment of 23 judges.
Isn't there a concept where you don't use the same pasuk for totally two different things?
But not when it comes to Hekesh. Hekesh has nothing to do with the Pshuto Shel Mikra. You know, if you need the pasuk to tell me a din, I can't derive other dinim from that pasuk. But if the Torah places it in a certain context, in a certain contiguity, then I have a right to derive two conclusions. One conclusion is from the Pshuto Shel Mikra, the meaning of the word itself, and another conclusion I derive from the fact that the Torah juxtaposed it together with something else. I just want to see if we have this here. Just one second. Just want to see which pasuk it's called. Kol Shochev Isha Sher Oh, here's the pasuk. Ish asher yitain. This is Vayikra Chav. Ish asher yitain shchav to bebehema. So we're talking about an ish rover behema, and then the pasuk says most you must, and then it says v'esa behema tarogu, and we kill the animal, and that's going to be the source for the derivation that the animal is put to death in 23 judges. Now I need the first part of the pasuk ish asher yitain shchav to behema most you must to teach me that the man who is rover the animal is put to death. So there's no contradiction between, on the one hand, needing the pasuk to teach me misa, and at the same time setting up a hekesh to behema to teach me chav gimel. Here too, it says shar yisakel v'gambol of yumas. So I need the gambol of yumas to tell me l'ktala, that we put the owner of the shar to death, and then I need, and then I can derive from the fact that it's written together with shar yisakel that there's a hekesh between the two, requiring 23 judges. Tosis answers, this is a pella to me, I'm going to just try it. It all depends which comes first. In other words, the one that comes first sheds a light on the one that comes second in a classic hekesh. So for example, in the case of Roveh, it says, V'ish ki yitein eshchavto b'behema mos yumas. And then it says at the end of the pasuk, V'es ha-behema tarogu. So his death, which comes first in the pasuk, is going to shed a light on the animal's death. And that's a hekesh in which A teaches B. So A in this case is the misas ha-bailim, that's the roveya, and he gets killed after the decision was made by how many judges? 23. And now that's going to shed a light on the end of the pasuk. It's kind of like if I give you a mushal, a locomotive, right? So the which car of the locomotive is going to cause all the cars to move? It's the first car. The first car is dragging the others. I think that's true. Mm-hmm. If it's not, I must be crazy, but I think it's true. But here, take a look at the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Hashar yisakel v'gambol of yumas." So who came first in the sequence in the pasuk? Was it the behema that came before the other, or the other that came before the behema? It's the behema that came before the other. So if we use the locomotive theory, then behema could shed a light on Adam, and that's why the Gemara thinks is Abamina that maybe we should put the man to death with skila, but the Gemara rejects that Abamina. But in any event, there's no way that we can set up a hekesh unless there's something called yitura dekra. In other words, unless Gambol of Yumas teaches me nothing, and it cannot be understood in its own context, then we can set up a hekesh. He says the following: Gabi Adam Arover Behema Nemar. It says in the pasuk V'ish Ki Yitein Shchavto Behema Os Yumas, and then the Torah says to put the animal to death as well. Is Nizkar Adam Tchilo Liachrav HaBehema? Are you with me? That first we start with the Adam, and then we go to the Behema. Ulefichach Yeshlomah Shekavonas Hakosav LaHakish. Says the Behema that's being schlepped along should be equated with the Ish. Avol Gabi Shor Niskal Nemar Shor Yisakav Gam Olav Yumz Hashor Tchilo Uliachrav HaAdam Lefichach Yeshlomah Shekavonas Hakosav LaHakish Es HaAdam LeShor. That the Torah is coming to equate the Adam who's being schlepped along by the beginning by the Behema to the shore of a lola epoch, but not the other way around. Al Kain, therefore says Tosis, Hutzcha Gemara Lomar, Shemikra Zed, this pasuk of Gambol of Yumas, is Miyutarhu. Miyutar means Yitur the crop. We don't need it in this context. And that's where the Gemara is going to fight and say, well, Luktala Hudios, and maybe we needed to teach us that we put the Bailam to death. And the question is which, and then we're going to ask a second question, okay, Shar Yisakav Gambol of, and the Bailam is also going to be put to death, but with which Misa? It's not going to be Skila, that can't be. But Yumas means Chenek. So that was the argument to the Gemara. So the whole sugya revolves around Yitur Dekra. Is the Gambol of Yumas to be classified, described as Yitur Dekra or not? If I need it in its context, then Shar could teach me something about Adam, but not the other way around. And if I don't know how how you can derive, how the Mishnah derives the conclusion that Kshar Yisakel is only with 23 judges. Now, what's the push to say that Gamba Olav Yumas is Miyutar, Yitur Dekra, Me'achar She'ein Abaylim Chayov V'Misan Klal, which again we're going to find out later on from a special Miyut that the Torah says a Rotseach is to be put to death, but not the owner of a Shar. We don't know that yet, but if we would only know that, then it would be crystal clear that Gamba Olav Yumas could not be understood in its context and cannot be interpreted literally, because there's no way, no how, that we could put the owner of the shor to death when the Torah says only a rotzeach is put to death. So therefore, why did the Torah say v'gam olav yumas, who needed it? Is nitan lidrosh, we can now be doresh le'inyan lahakish hashor lebailov. So again, the difference between what I'm telling you now and what we said before is that I tried to assume that Gambol of Yumas means Bidei Shamayim, which I'm pretty sure that's correct, because even after you have this miut that only the Rotzeach is going to be put to death but not the owner of the Shar, so why does the Torah say Gambol of Yumas? So I don't know, the way that I'm presenting it here in this overview of Tosis, it sounds like Gambol of Yumas really is totally meaningless. It's only there to set up a Hekesh. That's the only purpose, to teach me that the Shar requires 23 judges. I got into a more complicated histabachti, as the Israelis say, because I thought Gambol of Yumas means Yumas Bidei Shamayim. And until he pays the kofar, he's going to be killed not by a human court, but by the heavenly court. But then, if that be the case, then there's no Yitur Dekra, because the Torah is telling me a very important point here, that at least Bidei Shamayim is Chayav Misa. So how are you going to derive the conclusion that the Shar needs 23 judges if there's no Yitur Dekra? That's Tosis's argument. I tried to finagle it a little bit, you know what I mean? And I tried to say that if the Torah means that the person, the Baal Shor, is Chayav Misa Bidei Shamayim, then we can still derive a second conclusion that there is an equation over here. But Tosfos is assuming, no, you can only derive the conclusion if it's a perfect Yitur Dekra. I mean, I would object to this Tosfos, because I would say it's not a Yitur Dekra. I need the pasuk to tell me that he's chayav misa v'dei shamayim. Tosfos apparently doesn't entertain that svar. I don't know why. But then at the end here, and with this we'll try to wrap things up, he says, be'ofen sheni, tirtzu at Tosfos. Tosfos offers a second answer. Right, the od yeshlam, you'll see that in the last four lines of Tosfos, that Abai's question is the following, minayin shem mikra zeh, meaning gambol of yumas, ba lahakish es hashor lebailov. Hare yitochin lomar shehamikra melamed gam lahakish hashor lebailov v'gam lechayev habailim misa. So why is that a question? I don't understand. So let's say that the pasuk is coming to teach me two things: to equate the shor with the bailim, and also to be mechayev the bailim misa. Let me read it. The od yeshlam the hachibur shve'emel k'tola nami hu di asa v'lo l'drushe. Ah, wow. I just figured out what the Od Yeshlomer is. It's in your schus. I wouldn't have figured it out on my own, even though you didn't do anything to help me figure it out. But anyway, no, just your presence. Ah, wow. The second Teretz of Tosus says that this Sugya of Abaye has nothing to do with our Mishnah. Nothing whatsoever to do with our Mishnah. The Sugya ends when we quote the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says, Hashor Yisokel v'gambol of Yumas, and there's a Hekish in the Pasuk to teach me that just like Misa Sabailim is what? Is Bechav Gimel, so to Misa Shor is Bechav Gimel. Ole Abayla Rava, is that a hint? Okay, I got the hint. Oh, well, you said a clock. You know, it's okay. I had students who did that, by the way. Yeah. But they were a little bit younger than you. Anyway, so Abayi is a brand new sugya. A brand new sugya. The two dots before Abaye. Abaye wants to know that, okay, you have a hekesh, and that's going to certainly teach you that you need 23 judges, but at the same time, and this doesn't exclude in any way the hekesh, I could use the gamba olav yumas kipshuto and derive a definite halachia, which means that the owner of the shor should be put to death. So the Gemara counters against Abaye. Well, according to you, that the pasuk is telling you that you put the owner of the shor to death, so it could have said gamba olav. It didn't have to add the word yumas. And then we go through the whole, you know, the acrobatics that maybe we need the word yumas to decide and determine which death we should put him in. Then the Gemara turns around and says, how can you even entertain the possibility that I'm going to put him to death when the Torah says, Kofar Yushas Olav, he's going to pay a ransom. That can't be that he's Chayav Mises Bezdin. And then the Gemara finally says, well, maybe in this case we're going to allow him two options. Either we'll put you to death or you pay the ransom. And the Gemara finally concludes in the name of Chizkiah that we have a mead from the Pasuk Mos Yumas Rotzeach, and it's Dafka Rotzeach Hu. And that's going to exclude it. Wow, I didn't realize this. So now the Od Yesh Lomer in Tosfos, which is tucked away at the bottom of this Tosfos, completely changes the whole sugya. Abaye is a brand new sugya. And the name of the sugya, the title of the sugya, is do we put the owner of the shor to death? And Abaye says, well, even if I grant you the hekesh, and the Mishnah is correct that the Shah requires 23 judges by virtue of this hekesh, but I still have rights without undermining it and without, you know, pushing the hekesh to the back, you know, over the cliff. At the same time that I have the hekesh, I also have rights without undermining the hekesh to interpret the pasuk kipshuto, the gambol of yumas, and he should be put to death. And that's the whole sugya. Masha'en came the first part of Tosfos up to the Od Yesh Lomer. He's assuming that Abaye is attacking the Mishnah. How could the Mishnah postulate a hekesh when I need the pasuk gamba olav yumas? So you'll ask me, okay, but gamba olav yumas isn't. But I don't even care if gamba olav yumas should be understood in its own context, addressing the Adam, the Baal HaShor, because it still is written in the same pasuk as Shor Yisakel, and therefore we have a right to have both a Hekesh and Pshuto Shel Mikra. They don't exclude them one or the other. And that Tosis says, well, you know what Abai's problem is, that the words for Gamal of Yumas are written subsequent in the Sefer the Pasuk. If the Hekesh was meant to teach me from Adam to Shor, like in the case of Rovea, then Adam should have been mentioned first. From the fact that Adam is mentioned last, it means that Shor is teaching me something about Adam, but there's no Hekesh from Adam back to Shor, unless we get to Yisur the Krov. And Yisur the Krov means that there's no way that you could justify the pasuk claiming that we put the Baal HaShor to death, and that's the whole suit. Ad kan. So where do we get up to? Just want to make a note for tomorrow. Oh, Iboiluhu. Okay, I'm glad we didn't get to this Gemara, because I'm trying to rack my brains over here. At the time of Har Sinai, the Torah says that no one should come close to the mountain. And if somebody comes close to the mountain, he's going to die. And the Torah goes out of its way to add a behemah. So the Gemara is going to have a suffix here about this halacha, that a behemah that comes too close to Mount Sinai is going to die. Okay, so tomorrow, b'lin out of that. But the main sugya for tomorrow is the Ariv Adov HaBardalus. So if anybody wants to do a little research for me to find out exactly what a Bardalus is, I think it's a hyena, but I'm not sure. It might be a cheetah. Whatever it is, it's a pretty dangerous animal. You don't want to meet this animal in a dark alley at midnight. Okay, Rabbos, everyone should have a good day and vote wisely.